Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Thriving Adoptees podcast. And we have got a guest for you today. So we've had a lot of women on this podcast. I don't know why that is. A lot of women working in adoption agencies, but today we've got a young man all the way from Texas called Eric. And this guy is a real live wire. So stand by your beds and big ears for Eric. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Thank you, Simon. I already like you because you said young man. So yeah. At the ripe age, I'll be 45 this year. That doesn't feel young, but I'll take it, sir. So thank you.
Yeah, you take that. So yeah, well, I'm 9 years older than you. So you're 45. If we flip those round, I'm 54. So
very great. Great.
But we both still have our own teeth.
And hair. And yours is darker than mine. So good job.
Mine's a little bit darker, and I'm not using any boot polish, or Grecian 2000. But I am widow peaking it. It is going back further than yours. So Avery,
great.
Can you introduce yourself to the audience, please, Eric?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Like you said, my name's Eric Porter. I've been a credentialed minister for a little over 20 years. I've been married to my best friend Tricia, for 22 years this year. And we have four biological kiddos and two adopted kiddos from Texas foster care here in the United States. And we were local pastors for about 12 years. We made a lot of phone calls. It was a larger church, and so we made a lot more phone calls than maybe some other pastors did to the child abuse hotline for kids who were from our community who were being abused, abandoned, or neglected by family, and they attended our church. And man, Simon, I didn't understand what the church's role was in that, and it felt weird that as a pastor, I'm handing off children to the government for healing of their pain or their hurts or their, what they've been through. And I felt like that was part of the church's job. And excuse me, sorry. So God called us out of that. He called us 10 years ago out of the local church. And we've been leading a ministry, I'm sure we'll talk about later, called Backyard Orphans, where God showed me I was flying over kids and to help kids in other countries. And there were kids in our own backyard that needed us. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is this the Texas foster care that's led by Karen Perez?
We love Dr. Purvis. She's the late Dr. Karen Purvis. She passed away a few years ago, but yeah, she's down the road. Actually, I'm in Dallas area. She's in the Fort Worth area, and they created a wonderful trust-based intervention model that's used around the world. So.
Okay, so this is my my English accent or my lack of pronunciation. Now, we had a guest on the show called Karen Perez from Texas Foster Care. Texas Foster Care and Adoption. It's an agency, and I'm just wondering whether that was where they...
Oh, it's probably... There are 300 agencies, private agencies in Texas that do licensing of foster care and adoption. So... I might have met her, or there's a strong chance I have not, because I've met maybe 10% of those.
Okay. Wow, 300. Yeah. So the two kiddos, they came from some tough beginnings.
Yeah. Yeah. They, they were in the foster care system for 6 years. They're two of 12 kids in their biological family. And nine of those are in foster care. The others were able to stay with mom. But between the two, our two kiddos, they were in 17 homes in 6 years there. So,
wow. And we've got a lot of adoptive parents listening. So the point of the show is to obviously help. We're all on that constant learning journey, right? Me too. So my learning journey is like, how can I become a better better interviewer? How can I become more of who I truly am? How can I understand my own identity? How can I impact more people? How can I become a better trainer? Da, da, da. So I'm on the constant learning journey. And the point of the show is to hopefully encourage and help people on their own learning journey. So what I love to ask adoptive parents when they come on the show is, what is it that you've learned that has helped you become a better parent and for your kids to have better lives?
Yeah, that's true. I'm still learning. There's always more to learn. I had a pastor one time say, what's the minimal amount of training we need to get our church involved with foster care adoption or our parents to become foster adopt parents? And I said, well, that's kind of like saying, you know, what are the minimal amount of training I need to go into warfare? Can I go into a battle with just a Swiss Army knife? You know, can that a little butter knife, can that just be the, you know, no, I want all the hand-to-hand combat training I can get. I want all the artillery. I want to learn as much as I can. So that is my perspective. Now that can be a little bit overwhelming even to myself when I say that, but, you know, we started learning about this space about 5 years before our two kids came into our space. And wow, man, I've been to so many trainings and workshops and read books, and it still did not prepare me for what we were walking into. You know, it just doesn't. There's just no way. And I think I did get a little created my own nervousness or stress and anxiety. You know, they say stress is the gap between reality and expectation. And I think I had an expectation of myself that I would, you know, be this expert in trauma, expert in, you know, parenting, expert in, you know, all these categories, as a dad, as a, you know, who's had our oldest, this will be 18 this year. And you know, I've been a pastor for over 20 years. And, you know, I can create a world in my mind that I'm supposed to be some expert. Oh man, I'm so far from that, and get reminded the more I know, the less I know, you know? And, I can remember, honestly, Simon, when the kiddos came in our house, I don't like not a tailspin, but just like a whirlwind of emotions, a whirlwind of anxiety that I was creating for myself, thinking I'd have it all figured out. And I think another layer was I tried to overcomplicate it, which is just Eric Porter 101. I mean, I can overcomplicate the most simplest thing on the planet.
Are you good at really?
I'm great. I could be an expert in overthinking. You know, that could be definitely something that is a strength of mine. But
could we have a kind of like a Texas versus Yorkshire overthinking competition? Would anybody in the audience like to share, adjudicate or judge a Texas versus? Yeah,
that's great.
I'm really good at overthinking too. Yeah, so
you know, it's, I love it how you say that, because at one time, again, this was probably 12 years ago before we even got into this full time, we were my wife and I were in a foster adoption support group at our church, and we were just kind of had a restaurant takeover. You know, we were all there at a restaurant before it opened or something. And again, because I'm an overthinker, over planner, I'm sitting there enjoying the food, enjoying the company, but I'm whispering to my wife, I'm like, so what's the agenda here? What's the plan? What's the call to action? What's the objective? What are we trying to accomplish? I'm asking all these overthinking questions. And she just looked at me. She goes, babe, we're just hanging out. We're just sharing some stories and feeling normal for maybe once in our life as a parent. She goes, it's like when she became a new mom and, you know, 17, 18 years ago and had all these new mom questions. Sometimes it just took her sitting next to another new mom. I'm so sorry, my throat, there's a frog in my throat. But it just was a moment to sit next to another new mom and share some stories about what it feels like to be a new mom. And so she was explaining that's what was going on in this foster adopt support group. And I was way overthinking it, and I need to just bring it back to the basics. And I think that's where I was going, is like, I started to realize somewhere along the journey is that I'm just overthinking this. I need to keep the main things the main things, keep it simple. And I think one of the biggest things that came to my mind when you asked that question was, I want to speak life into our kids and to people I come in contact with. And I know some of your audience might be, religious or church people, but some might not, but hang with me for a second. You know, even if you just look at the Bible as a, you know, a historical artifact, you know, you see the story of Jesus. He tried to pull the greatness out of somebody. And I think Peter is an example that he did. You know, Peter was the guy that was quick to pull out a sword and chop off somebody's ear, you know, and kind of get all worked up. And
sounds like a Quentin Tarantino film.
So great. But yeah, I mean, you know, but and in cancel culture that's around the world now, you see somebody's weakness and you make it all of them. And so if Peter was in today's society, you know, he would have been canceled out by everybody. I mean, if someone got that on a little video reel and posted on social media, he'd be toast, right? But Jesus saw the best in Peter. In fact, at that time, I think he was even called Simon, and said, "Hey, I'm going to change your name, Simon, you know, the pebble. I want to change your name to Peter because that means rock. And I'm actually going to build the church on your shoulders, Peter." And you see Jesus' example of speaking life and wanting to make the bring the best out of somebody instead of viewing them in their worst day or their worst moment. That is what God was showing me is, Eric, your kids who come from hard places and your biological kids are going to have weaknesses and struggles and trials and all these tests. And if I, in my own flesh, see them through their weakness, that's what they'll become. But I think on the contrary of the Jesus model, the enemy, the devil's model is he's the accuser of the brethren. So he's the one that wants to find the weakness of you and me and everybody listening and our kids and make it all of them. And so this was the lesson God was just trying to make simple for me. No, make it hope-filled, bring life, speak life, find the strengths of your kiddos and try to overlook, maybe parent coach a little bit the weaknesses, but just spend more time and energy building on your kids' strengths. That was just one of the lessons there.
So, well, there's so much richness in there. There's so much in there. So before we started recording, I said something that I'd come up with on social media, and I'd come up with something the other day. Let's be trauma-informed, but hope-obsessed.
I love it.
So the hope-obsessed bit, like the trauma is mass generalization here. The trauma is the weakness part of it, I guess. And let me make it clear in that the strength is underneath the trauma. We're pulling out the strength. I loved it. You said it. Pull the greatness. The greatness is, well, using the pebble and rock analogy, the greatness is underneath the rock. So let's focus on pulling the greatness from underneath the rock. Let's move the rock to one side, see the greatness, the rock of trauma that's the kids that are carrying around in their backpack. Let's put that to one side and let's focus on the strength and the greatness underneath that.
I wouldn't be on this, you know, call today if I did not have people in my life when I was, you know, a preteen, teenager, college, you know, 20-something year old. If I didn't have the people pulling out the greatness in me and pulling out the best of me, I wouldn't be on this phone call today, you know?
Yeah. Have you heard the source of the word education? Do you know where that comes from?
Educate me.
Okay. Nice one. I love it.
Sorry. Pastor joke.
Yeah, it's okay. People don't get, I love that because I say strange things too. And when they don't laugh, I say, I said that and that was supposed to be a joke. And then British people were very polite and they will laugh, but
right.
the tone of their laugh somehow never meets my expectations.
You know? That's funny.
So they, well, it's the gap between reality and expectations. So yeah. Educate comes from the Latin educare, which means to draw out. And so you're talking about pulling out greatness. The greatness is within. The answer to the question, you know, like I'm a big fan of coaching rather than therapy, for example, because I believe that coaches have always helped me, have always drawn out the question from within me. And then it's my solution that I will then, you know, take on board. I take it on board. It's come from me. So I'm going to take action because it's me, rather than somebody that is trying to tell me to do something, because then it's not my idea and I'm less likely to follow through with it. And we've got this view, I think, culturally, that education is for the most part stuffing things into people's heads and into kids' heads. And when we try and stuff information into kids' heads, it doesn't go in. But when we draw the answers out of them, then it's more likely to actually have some impact. You know, there's no such thing. You'll like this. There's no such thing as a second-hand epiphany. We have to have them for ourselves. And we have to be patient. The difference between telling somebody and coaching somebody, whether it's at work or whether it's our kid, is it takes an awful lot of time to do it. So we have to kind of like make time and patience. And I'm thinking, you're doing all this work and you've got six kids. You know, obviously there's not just you in the equation. There's your best friend and the love of your life, Trish. But how on earth do you find time to do all this stuff?
I don't know. You know, what's interesting. At the time of this recording, we have five of our six kids in the home are teenagers. So if anybody is praying, people who are listening to this, please pray for us. I joke, you know, being a pastor at a large staff, that didn't take us out, you know, becoming a missionary, raising our own support, that didn't take us out. You know, building a team, moving across the United States, you know, that didn't take us out. But having five teenagers, Simon, this could be the thing that just wipes me out, you know. But, you know, again, I was a youth pastor for a while. We had 1,000 kids in our youth ministry when we were youth pastors, and lots of high level thinking and, you know, programming and parent conversations. And even this summer, God reminded me, I was feeling the weight of five teenagers, you know, in the house, and all the emotions, all the questions, all the problem solving, all the things, all the trauma sprinkled in there. We call it like sprinkled. You just kind of sprinkle some trauma in there. Secondary trauma, first trauma, you know, from other situations. And God just kind of reminded me, you know, my old days of being a youth pastor. It's like, hey, you know, go have fun with them. You know, just like last night, you ready for this? Our power was out in our little neighbor, we have a cul-de-sac. I don't know if that translates over, but you know, just a little neighborhood.
Yeah, no, okay.
Yeah, so we had 20 houses that were out of power starting at 2 p.m. yesterday to 9 p.m. It was 100 degrees outside. Our house was 80 degrees on the inside. So my awesome best friend and wife, as you said, yes, that's correct. She's the fun one. I'm the boring one. And she goes, let's go out and eat, which for her, that's like, yes, an excuse to go out and eat, you know? And so we went out to eat, had some Chinese food, and we're still watching the clock. We're like, are we going to need to stay over at someone's house? You know, because nobody's going to sleep. We're sweating. It's 80, you know, in our house. And so we went and got ice cream and we're sitting there eating ice cream last night and playing I Spy with our teenagers in a restaurant, you know, and just trying to remember, you know what, just keep it simple again. Don't, you know, keep it simple when you're parenting. bring life with what you say and what you do. Keep it simple when it comes to life throws you a lemon, you know, you make lemonade, and that's what my wife was leading it. And I was following and just loving it. And we're just having a good time with our kids and building a memory. Remember that one time our house, you know, we had no power and it was 80 degrees and we went out and had ice cream and were playing games. Yes. Yeah. Something fun like that. So, I mean, on a kid's side, you know, that's things we do. We try to make it a point to attend their activities, you know, so we have a American football game, you know, tonight. I also played, you know, the, can I say the real football, or I get in trouble being from the US? I don't know if I can say it, cause I played
which
soccer.
Which was created first?
Yeah, there you go. See, so I played soccer my whole life and then started playing football. So I'm on both sides, so I can be friends with both groups right there. And, anyway, so we'll attend our kids, you know, football game tonight, Thursday night, church tomorrow night. You know, we're pretty involved with their world, taking them to soccer matches. One of them's a referee, you know, and stuff. And so we get involved with their world as much as we can. But I have a day job, and so we, I work from my house. That definitely helps me to be available, because three of our kids are homeschooled, and three of our kids are public schooled, and so. It's a unique situation. We always felt per child, per year, we would just kind of go to the Lord and say, what do you want us to do? And it fits those kids' needs well. And so we do half and half. And so that makes the calendar even more crazy, because there's two or three, four different, we got one dual enrollment in college. And so that's another calendar. Anyway, so we try to balance all that stuff. I do trips. If you follow me on, you know, social media, Eric Porter 10, or you follow us at Backyard Orphans, you'll see God moves us around, you know, the United States. So we were just in Cincinnati, Ohio. I was in New York. You know, I'll be headed to South Carolina in a couple of weeks to help these churches do foster care and adoption. And one of the strategies we do with why I felt like we had the word Porter team is we wanted our kids to experience life and this part of being an adult with us, you know, I want them to see dad in their context and how to have an adult conversation, because I believe as a parent, we're preparing them to leave the house. You know, amen. Come on, can the church give me an amen? We're preparing them to leave the house and then to be adults, you know, who don't create trauma as much as possible for their kids, and can maybe be homes that they can help kids who have gone through that. So I bring them, we fly usually a kid. We have a rotation of the kiddos that fly with dad, you know, and so they'll come with me. And I took one of our kiddos last week. I'll take another one in 2 weeks. So anyway, just little tips and tricks that we do to try to keep family first and then the job second, you know, right there.
Yeah. So when I do show notes for each episode, and normally there's, you know, like four or five. So there might be a couple of personal, a LinkedIn profile and for the guest, and then and maybe Facebook perhaps, and then all the organization that they work for. Like when I'm going to do yours that go with this, there's probably going to be about 15 underneath it, because you're all over this stuff. You've got the, you know, we're going to get onto the Backyard Orphan stuff. You're going to be having all those links, so you can check. If you're listening to this, listeners, then don't just go to the show notes and check out Eric's stuff. And there's going to be your personal stuff, and we're going to link into Team Porter so that people can see what this is all about, because these kids just exude the smiles that I can see. With listeners, we're doing this on Zoom with the video, but you're only hearing the audio. But the kids exude their dad's happiness. That's what it's about. And you say, you know, you said about sprinkling trauma. Well, it does seem to be a bit of a sprinkle, but it doesn't seem to be holding you back.
Yeah, it's there, you know, and it's funny, because when it pops up, it's like I'm surprised. It's like, that doesn't make sense, because it's totally there. But I think God is helping us to stay kind of on top of it and guiding them to hope and guiding them to, they were created with a plan and a purpose. They're not an accident. They're not a mistake. That they have an amazing opportunity to change the world in their own right, wherever God takes them in university or their career. This conversation on this podcast is, I don't know. It's good. It's filling my soul a little bit, 'cause I don't talk about the dad side too often. You know, my day job is more talking about churches getting involved and, you know, all the churches, you know, get involved. So you're causing me to be a little mushy or sentimental in my heart as I'm thinking about this, just the honor that it is to be a dad. You know, the fatherlessness around the world is an epidemic. I mean, it's just, and it just grows. I was listening to a statistic. I think one of them was actually in the UK study that was talking about the COVID. Let's see how COVID has affected fatherlessness. The people, you know, and I have these written down somewhere and I might have to find them here, but like, the amount of kids that lost one parent through COVID. And then when you looked at the which parent did they lose, the mom or the dad, it was the dad most of the time. I heard that last week at this conference I was at, and I was like, oh my goodness, that's so, you know, like there's so many questions I have to that, and so much weight I feel on that. And how any dad that listens to this, I hope and pray that there's a clarion call that they hear to rise up, to step up, to speak up and be the men that we were created to be, because there's a generation that is so fatherless, and natural disasters or pandemics that go on are only increasing the problem. It's just so interesting. And trying to keep a marriage together, you know, like, that's another area of this parenting father thing that, I don't know, Simon, I think those things just weigh, like if you know, the question would be like, where's my target? My target is I want God to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I think the second target is I want to celebrate 50 plus years with my best friend. I think my third target is I want these kids to see who they are, who they're created to be, and to fulfill that plan. That's most, you know, that to me would define success more than the organization that we lead and the ministry we lead. You know, that's where success is. Sorry, you got me a little mushy there. So
go for it. I'm gonna full on mush you up.
That's great.
So this thing, who we are, helping kids see who they are, what does that mean to you? Yeah, what does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a great question, and it's a weird answer because it's almost like two sides of the coin. On one side, we have no idea. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if my parents ever saw me being a minister, you know, when I was growing up. I mean, they probably have more stories than anybody on the reasons I should not be a minister, you know, from growing up. And I used to be so intimidated to talk in front of people, and they knew that, you know, so on one side, I don't know, you know, what's, where they're going to, you know, what, where they're going to land. You know, I think my role, and this is just a picture that literally just popped in my head. So if it's a bad analogy or metaphor, don't hate on me, but, I pictured like a Rocket Man, you know, type scenario with our kids are standing there. And, you know, like a lot of us who are parents, you know, you put the backpack on the kid and we take them to school. I did that this morning, you know, we just take them to school, but instead of the backpack, you're putting rockets on them. Right. And I think the preparation for the 18 years or whatever they're in our homes is trying to figure out the right fitting for their specific rocket you know, and what, you know, and give you an example of the specific fitting, you know, you have introvert kids, you have extrovert kids, you know, I really like all the personality tests, you know, like DISC tests or the animals, lion, otter, beaver, golden retriever, you know, I love those things, and, or Enneagram, you know, all those things, but like, I really lean into the DISC. And so there's a book called The Treasure Tree, by Gary Smalley, who does a kid's version of like the DISC, and he does the animals, the lion, otter, beaver, golden retriever, and they're going on a journey trying to find the treasure tree. But to find the tree, they need the different gifts that each of those personalities bring to the table. So the lion is the leader, the otter is the one having fun, celebrating along the way, the beaver pulls out the map and actually like gets them there maybe quicker. And then the golden retriever just takes care of everybody and loves on everybody, you know? And from an early age, we would help our kids to identify, which animal do you think you are? You know, and we would help them understand that, okay, yeah, you got some lion. And then it's good for the other siblings to know. The reason, you know, this sibling is a little loud, is a little bossy sometimes, is because they're a leader, they're a lion. You know, the reason this one got their feelings hurt is because maybe they're a golden retriever and they just can't, you know, it's hard with a lion, you know. The reason this one is loud and always telling jokes and making us laugh is because they're the otter. You see what I'm saying? And so that helps me fit that rocket onto them with their specific, you know, bent towards life. And I think that's the side of the coin where parents can really lean into, is going, okay, this child sees life one way, and this child sees it this way. This one has a gift. Like when our oldest is musically gifted, she just won the top, you know, female vocal soloist in the nation, in our 13,000 churches we're a part of. What? She did not get that gift from me. She got that from her gifted mother. But obviously she's got some skill and gift towards that. So we're fitting her, you know, rocket pack to fit more creative. She's great on Instagram and clothes and all this stuff, where, you know, I'm not that. And there's other kids that don't have that gift and they're bent a different way. But I think the flip side is, once I'm starting to feel it, cause we have the oldest who's going into college, you know, we're already dual enrolled, and I'm starting to see, man, we've done our best to try to fit this rocket and even maybe help point the rocket in a certain direction. But parents, once we flip that switch and turn that rocket on, only God himself knows where in the atmosphere they're going to go and where their feet are going to land on the planet, in their career. And that, it's exciting and terrifying all the same time to be on both sides of that.
Yeah. I love that. An instrument, a mentor is instrumental in my life, says that, I'm going a side metaphor to your rocket analogy. He says that enthusiasm does for people what helium does for balloons.
Say that one more time.
Enthusiasm does for people what helium does for balloons.
Love it.
And you'll like this. I asked you about educate earlier on, and you wanted to be educated on that. Would you like to be educated? You might know this one. Do you know where the source of the word enthusiasm is?
God in this?
Yeah. 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 Theology is the study of religion or whatever, study of God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and theos, N is in, and theos is God. So it's enthusiasm is kind of the God within. And that is what, you know, I'm not a religious guy. I'm a spiritual guy. So I would use the word spirit or God within. It's, for me, they're kind of interchangeable. So I wouldn't say the God word in case it upset non-God. No, yeah, we can play it both ways. I could say life force or chi. If I was going to talk to some Chinese people, I would say chi, or I would say nature, like our nature. So anything, enthusiasm, anything that we can do to lift people up. So a balloon, whether you know, we're looking at our kid like a balloon or somebody with a rocket, I don't put our we haven't got golden retrievers, but we've got Labradors. You wouldn't want to put our eldest dog in your rocket, you know, in your backpack, because she's like 30 kilos, so she's going to weigh you down.
That's great.
But not as much as the pigs. We've got two pigs. They weigh like that. Yeah.
How much do they weigh?
Well, probably about three times as much. So probably, 30 kilos is, what's that, 60 pounds? So they probably weigh about 180 pounds, I would guess.
Oof.
The boy pig, Buster and Ruby. Buster is a lot bigger than Ruby. But yeah, so helping our kids, I found them. I did a lot of work with kids before I came to the adoption space, not working in elementary schools, what we call primary schools here. And my starting point always was, what do you want? What's your dream? What's your dream? What do you need to do to make your dream come true? And who do you need to be to do what you want to do to make your dream come true? So it's like it's a coaching model, but flipped to be kind of kid friendly. And it's all about, it is all about pulling the greatness from within them and pulling the answers from within them, asking questions. So I often talk about the fact that, you know, like a question has a question mark at the end of it. And that question mark looks like a hook. The hook is what draws the greatness out of the child, the answer out of the child, rather than an exclamation mark, which is stop, you know, and stops the flow, or it's trying to force the information into the kid. And we need to draw the greatness from within, so that they can, and then once you bring it out, then they can see it for themselves. So that's, they can see their perfection, they can see their greatness, they can see the true self, the life force, the God that they are within them.
Yeah.
That's underneath all the trauma. Let's what we focus on gets bigger. So let's focus on the greatness and not so much about the trauma.
That's right. You know, when you've talked about coaching a couple of times, you know, when that started coming out, for me, I started getting wind of it around 10 years ago. And we were actually assigned a coach to kind of help us, life coach. And then it was really to help us get our funds raised as like a missionary. And I was a little skeptical, if I'm honest. I was like, what is this? It feels like a fad, you know, like this whole coaching idea. But so I don't know where the audience is on it, but this helped me. And I'm tied back to what you and I are saying on the parenting. But if you kind of have three different people in your life, you know, you have a mentor, which would be someone who you kind of mentioned this, that someone who just, maybe you go to for answers, like, man, what do you think about this? And you're just asking them for some advice, you know, a mentor. Maybe it's a mentor is just someone you watch, maybe from afar, you read their books, you study them, or they're up close. You do food with them. You grab coffee or tea with them, and you're letting them talk, and they mentor you through just being around them, their presence. Then the second category is like that counselor, which I think all of us, if you're in the adoption world, man, I can't remember if you said you're anti, you know, therapist, but counselor. But I think what they do sometimes is help unpack some of the things that have happened, you know? So it's, I think of counselors, like if you're driving in a car and there's a windshield and then you have that rear view mirror, a counselor has a tendency to like take that small rear view mirror, which is just a fraction of the large windshield, and they kind of expand it through some conversation. And then they kind of put it back to where it should be, which is smaller than the future, right? The windshield is where you're going, and the rearview mirror is where you've been. But a therapist or a counselor just kind of helps you look in the past and kind of understand some things that maybe you've worked through. And then the last one is the coach that you're describing. And I have been coached, as I said, and I learned to love it. This lady would ask me questions and she was pulling out of me like what was in me, like you're talking about. So much so that I've become like certified with John Maxwell Coaching. So a leadership author. When I studied his coaching, I think the guy leading it was a guy who's a British native there. I was so loving that model. But I was learning how to be a coach as an occupation, you know, through my job. But you're right, Simon, the whole time I'm thinking about as a dad, I'm like, man, as a parent, this is so helpful, especially the season I'm in right now with teenagers. And I'm telling you, I'm feeling a little convicted. That's a churchy word. You know, I'm feeling a little convicted that I need to mentor less right now and coach more, you know, with my kids, especially the season they're at. I'm feeling that right now, just asking the questions and pulling out, because it's in them. You're right. I'm saying it, you're saying it, but man, if we could pull out the greatness and all the things, it's good.
I think it's impatience that keeps us mentoring rather than coaching.
I agree. Oh my word. I'm so impatient. One thing I've learned, you don't pray for more patience because then God gives you an opportunity to be patient. But you're right. I'm just impatient. I think about some new team members on our staff and I'm like, oh, I'm talking to them too much. I need to ask them questions more, you know? So yeah, you're right. It's good.
To go back to your treasure tree, I think lions are probably impatient, aren't they?
Very much so. And as you've probably figured out, I'm a lion otter. That's my second, but my number one is lion. So yeah.
I was into that disc stuff a few years ago when I had a small team of six. Yeah. I was not a great leader at all. I really struggled. Who was the guy that, because I know this, I'm pretty sure that I know this guy that trained you at John Maxwell. Ian.
What's his last name?
He's not called Ian. He's a really thin.
Mm-hmm. I'm Googling as you're asking.
This has no bearing whatsoever on the. I don't know why.
It's great.
Simpson, Christian Simpson.
Yes, totally. Yes, sorry.
Great guy.
Yeah. He's wonderful. Oh, he's brilliant. He's just brilliant.
He gave me a roasting that led me to reading The Primal Wound, the Nancy Verrier book.
Wow. Yeah.
Which set me doff down the line, actually.
Wow.
Down the line, you know, because I'd done a load of healing and then I did a load more healing after that. Christian Simpson is a great guy.
Yeah,
I've only met him once, but I've spoken to him loads of times and been on phone calls. And you know. Anyway, that's by the by. So there we are, guys. Look at that. You know, you take, have a look at what you're doing in terms of parenting. So learn from this. You know, this is a learning opportunity to look at whether you are. What's the mix between what you're doing? Are you coaching? To what extent are you counseling, mentoring, and coaching your kids? And if you can break that down into some sort of percentage, or just look at that and see, could I be doing more of one? Am I doing too much of one? Should I be doing more of another? This is introspection time, and it might take a bit of time to do that, to figure that through. Maybe it's something that parents could do between them. Maybe instead of just self-reflecting, they could talk about it to one another, and maybe you could say, okay, so where between the two of them could we make some change? What would you add to that?
Right. Well, I think of a quote. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Every man I meet is superior to me in some way." And I too am doing some introspection just with our conversation here. Like, I will walk away trying to think about that same question you just asked. What am I doing too much of? And you heard my confession. I'm doing too much, you know, mentoring of my kids. They've crossed over, you know, they're in the teenage years, and I need to pull it out of them instead of like putting it into them. And so I think everyone we meet is superior, and our kids can teach us something too if we just open our eyes and let them teach us, you know, some things. So yeah. Good job, Simon. I just took
your description and made it into prescription to give, because I know that people crave practical stuff, and it's very rarely that we get anywhere near practical stuff in this podcast. But I just saw that opportunity and I jumped out and maybe check out this treasure. Maybe check out this treasure tree. That sounds like it's a great little tool for the basis of dialogue, conversation, and conversation is going to foster connection. And off we go. We're away to the party, and we're enthusing. And that other piece of what if, you know. Do you have a bit of a hang up with life story work in the US? Have you heard of this life story work? It's the history. It's your history. Whilst you were in foster care or before you were adopted, or you know, it's a life story work, and people go on about it a lot, and I think it's really great. However, I've heard, you know, you've got a load of books behind you. I've heard that, you know, that the past is a place of reference, not a place of residence. We have to, you know, I don't think I found some good therapists, but one of them was very significant in helping me along the journey, but not in the way that she wanted to be. But I'm not going to go into that right now. But we should be focusing on the future, not when we should be helping our kids towards the future that they want. That's what empowerment is. That's what inspiring is. It's about the future. It's about looking forward. And I used to say about the rearview mirror. I used to say that to our accountant, to what you guys would call a CPA. Yeah, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Either way.
Yeah. I would say, can you stop looking in the rearview mirror, Chris? We've got to look forward. You know, like with financials, especially financial, you don't. What's the point in looking back? What's the point in looking back? Cut cost in the present. Make sales in the present. You know, improving. But that, what's the point of looking back? You know, I also waste a lot of time on comparison. You know, looking. Comparison. It's just like it, and you see this in parents tell me this all the time. I'm comparing myself. You know, and it's another one of these stresses, isn't it? Because we look at, you talk about stress being the difference, the distance between expectations and reality. What we see, we talked about social media, the social media, the picture that people put on social media is, there is the highlight reel, and we compare what's going on inside us and the tricky stuff we're going through with somebody else's highlight reel, and we think, we start beating ourselves up because we're not as good as having a better life as they're having. It's just, time to bring it in, buddy.
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Would you like to share some closing thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, to the parents, I think there's no perfect parent. You know, I think in my camera angle, the only perfect parent is God, you know, and I'm just trying to do my best. I'm trying to be the best version of myself and try to pull that best version of my kids out of them, help them on the path. You know, be quick to forgive, quick to change course, be blessed are the flexible, for they shall not break. You know, just, again, I don't think you can overtrain. So listening to this podcast, reading books, conferences, other, just meeting with other parents, the kind of joke right now is anytime I meet with any of our friends who are parents of teenagers, we go right into it. How was your week? What battle did you have? And it's just so funny. It's like, you just can't even help it. You just like jump right into, oh my gosh, you'll never believe this. And then there's a story. So I don't know. I just think don't be too hard on yourself as a parent. As adoptive parent, just know you're a champion. You know, if you've adopted someone, it's not easy. If you've been adopted, you're a champion, because the ones who were adopted probably have had more challenge than the ones who adopted them. I mean, their whole world has been, as Fresh Prince of Bel-Air says, flipped, turned upside down. Our kids, 17 homes in 6 years. Like, anytime they start talking about a story of one of those homes, I stop, I put down whatever, and I just kind of listen, and I let them get it out and talk, you know, and just affirm the strengths, join them in the despair if it was a sad moment, you know, or whatever. But we're not perfect as parents. They're not perfect as kids. It's a messy journey, this thing called life, and especially this thing called relationships that we're called to lean into. So yeah, that's my little thoughts on the parenting side. You guys are awesome. Parents are awesome.
I'm not a religious man, but I will say amen to that.
Thank you, sir.
You are awesome, and listeners, you're awesome too. And don't try and switch off the negative voice in your head that tells you that you're not awesome. Just let it become another opinion that you no longer value.
It's good.
See you soon, listeners. Thanks a lot for listening. Bye-bye.